Greetings, my Christian friends. Once again, this is your teacher, C. Ernest Chatham, and we're now ready to consider Lesson 4 in our course, A Reasoning Faith. Say, by the way, have you gone over this material in advance? Good. I know that we shall have a profitable time together as we now consider it in more detail. Just as our modern superhighways are equipped with not only clearly marked directions, but also with warnings that flash out caution signals, so the Bible everywhere warns us of the perils of missing our way in spiritual things. Now this lesson, therefore, concerns some common mistakes. So, let's be prepared for a few flashing amber lights. First of all, let's avoid the disaster of assuming that mere sincerity is good enough in things spiritual. I have a friend who invested everything he had in a certain business in the sincere conviction that that business would bring him financial success. What happened? Oh, it failed. Yes, and he lost all that he had. He was very sincere, but his sincerity did not save him from financial ruin. You know, I may assume that my own fancied merit will secure me my salvation. And thus, I come under the description provided in Romans 10, verses 2 through 4. May I read them? For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. How important then it is that we be right, and that we know God's way of salvation. I remember a very sincere old lady up north once saying, "You may go to heaven in your way, but I'll go to heaven in mine." Now, with all due respect to our friend, I'm afraid that she was quite wrong. For, after all, it's God's heaven. And if you and I are going there, we're going in God's way, or else we're not going at all. It's not a case of your way versus my way. But the great, important factor is, am I going God's way? In taking medicine, for example, to remedy some ailment, how important it is that I take the right medicine. If I'm traveling, how very, very imperative it is that I take the right train or the right plane. But someone says, but what about reformation? Well, reformation is simply self-salvation. The Lord Jesus answers this very clearly, does he not, in three distinct pronouncements. In Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, our Lord said this, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." This is reinforced by another of his sayings, recorded in Matthew 18 and verse 3, where Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of God." And then again, we have another of his pronouncements, so well known but so little understood. I refer to John chapter 3, verse 3, where again our Lord said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." No, mere reformation is not enough. Let's be clear on this. Supposing an immigrant from some European country immigrates to the United States. On arriving here, he learns the language. And after a while, he has acquired such a facility with the language that he speaks just like the average American. He learns to like American food and dress as Americans do. He admires the country. He acquits himself as a good citizen. He obeys the laws and pays his taxes. Does this make him an American? He does everything an American does. He has conformed to all of our customs and our culture. Surely, surely this will make him an American citizen. But you answer, oh no, it won't. Oh no, it won't. It doesn't matter how perfect his behavior may be. He does not become an American citizen until he becomes naturalized. Exactly so. And merely behaving as Christian, by conforming to Christian ethics, does not produce a Christian. For in order to be a Christian, one must be born from above by the miraculous regenerating power of the Holy Spirit. In other words, he has to be converted and born again. Yes, as the textbook points out, and I refer to, of course, lesson number 4, page 5, salvation must be personally received, for Christ's atonement avails for all who will appropriate it. I remember in the city in which I lived as a young fellow, at a hospital. It was known as Grace Hospital. I was never in it, but I used to pass it a great many times. And on the outside of Grace Hospital, there was a sign. And that sign read, Free Dispensary for Needy Poor. The hospital was located in rather a poor section of the city. And I can well imagine that those who were indigent often read that sign, and I'm sure that many took advantage of it. Free Dispensary for Needy Poor. Supposing some poor family who lived within easy distance of Grace Hospital were to apply, they would have to simply prove to the authorities that they were in need, that they were not only poor, but they would be rightfully classified as needy poor. And when they took their place as needy, then, you see, they were eligible for the drugs and the services that Grace Hospital offers. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has gone to the cross of Calvary, and according to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Now here is a declaration that's well worth memorizing. I read it again. There is one God and one mediator, one middleman, one who comes between and only one. And he is the mediator between God and men, and he's the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. Then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we have a further word along this line. I'm reading verse 15. He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. You see, what Paul is saying here in these texts is that when our Lord died, his death was so valuable in the eyes of God that it laid a righteous foundation upon which God could extend his mercy, his forgiveness, and his salvation to all who would take advantage of it. So, while the death of Christ is efficient for all, it's sufficient for only those who make themselves, who take advantage of it, who receive it. You know, many, many years ago, Great Britain paid £20 million to free the slaves throughout her vast colonies. That sum of money was paid to the proper sources. potentially every slave was thereby freed. However, if a slave elected to remain with his master, he might do so. So far as he was concerned, the ransom money might have been retained by Britain. It did him no good. And is it not a sad fact that there are today multitudes around us who either ignore or disdain the wondrous, complete provision that God has made for our salvation through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? So far as they are concerned, it wasn't necessary for God to so love the world that he would give his only begotten Son. So far as they are concerned, the Lord might have well stayed in heaven and not come to the cross of Calvary at all. How important it is, then, if we are to get in on the good of this wondrous provision made by God, that we appropriate, we receive to our hearts the Redeemer whose work on the cross has satisfied every just claim of the righteous throne of God against us. How good it is to be able to sing, "All my sins were laid upon him. Jesus bore them on the tree. God who knew them laid them on him, and believing, I go free." So, let us not then depend upon mere sincerity. Let us remember, furthermore, that reformation will not do. And let us get this clearly in mind, that it's only through the Savior's death on the cross that has met the heavy, heavy claim of God. And now, Christ being risen from the dead and thrown at God's right hand, is God's receipt that the debt has been satisfactorily and eternally paid. Salvation, then, becomes mine when I acknowledge my sin and receive the only Savior as my personal Lord. Now our lesson, you'll notice, is followed by a self-check test. We'll go over this test, of course. We'll check it out, see how we come up with our answers, and then let us be sure to go over lesson number 5 in advance in view of our next session together. And I'm sure that God will bless you as you do so.